Jesus. It's a new year. Man, some of y'all is giving the golf clap. We're talking about tithes and offerings. Man, get fired up about God's economy. We want the kids. That's why the kids stay in here, is so that they can learn about God's economy, what that they need to do with their finances. Kids have finances. Parents give them some money they earn sometime. I was watching a pastor the other day on TV while we were gone. Mom and Dad and Laurie and I and Corey and Jamie went and did a wedding this past weekend and something else. We had a good time. Good time. It was. I've been involved in a lot of things, and that was one of them. I'm telling you, it was. I don't want to say fiasco because it really wasn't, but it was an adventure, wasn't it? Yeah, it was an adventure. It was an adventure. Everybody dressed up like they were in the 90% of the people there dressed up like they were supposed to. I mean, there was Indians there with war paint on, and I mean, you know, it wasn't just about the cowboys back then. The Indians were there, and man, they had saloon girls there, and it was pretty fun. It's kind of crazy. Nobody carried guns, though. I guess they had to check them at the door. I don't know. White Earp was somewhere there. But while we were there, we were in a hotel room, and I was watching a pastor on TV, and he was talking about sowing. And I thought it was really neat how his analogy of what sowing is. I mean, we all know biblically, throughout time and throughout the Bible, as long as there's the Bible, there is sowing and reaping. So whatever you sow, you're going to reap, whether it's good or bad. And he made this statement. He said, what sowing is taking something now in the present and throwing it into the future to multiply. I never thought of it that way. You see, because when we tithe or we give offerings, there's things that we are believing for right now. So we're believing for that to come back really quick. But then there's things that we do now that you may not see a return for 15 years. Because depending on where you sow that, it comes back. You think about how we sow. If you have kids and we sow into our kids' lives for how many years? But you see, we sow into our kids' lives, and we sow into our kids' lives. And then as we get older, it starts coming back. You see, those kids start. And when you have four kids, you just believe in big multiplying. Woo! I throw that out there. Come on back. But you see, that I thought that was so neat because it's taking something and you're throwing it out to be multiplied for the future. Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house and prove me now herewith. I'm going to stop right there for just a minute because I want you to underline that word prove. Oh, I'm sorry, Malachi. It's part of you sitting there going, what? And then part of y'all guessed where I was at. Malachi 3 verse 10, I apologize. I'm so fired up. Man, it's a good year, y'all. Laurie's like, oh my Lord. She told me the other day we were driving and she goes, boy, you have ADHD today, don't you? I said, I never stopped. I got the Holy Ghost. Woo! That's the way I've been since January 1st. Man, y'all, you get a hold of God and you shouldn't be any other way but fired up. There's nothing can tear us down if we got Jesus. Amen. Man, I should have heard everybody in this place say amen. That's better. That's a start. Okay, Malachi, I'm going to do this one more time. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house and prove me now herewith. That word prove, underline prove, because I don't know how many times that I've read this scripture. I've had pastors teach it to me, but I've never really thought about that word prove till I was studying. The Holy Spirit said, that says to test. God says, test me. Now, a lot of times we thought, oh, don't challenge God. We're not supposed to challenge God. But wait a minute. It just said, prove me now. You see, in the Hebrew, that means test me. Test me. So if you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, you're testing God. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're going to test God by bringing those tithes into the storehouse. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of you want to have so much blessing coming down that you don't have enough room to receive it? Man, it's 2019 and you should be saying, bring it on. Bring it on. Man, I won't. But there's that word, but, you know, that it's not one of my favorite words because most people use it backwards. They always say a good thing and then they say but and they say the bad thing. That's not how you do that. You say the bad thing and then you say but the good thing, you see? But when we do the right thing, then God pours out his blessing so much more than we can receive. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Man, don't you want him fighting the devil for you? Man, that's a good thing. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. I like to be called blessed. Don't y'all? Man, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. So don't forget that when you bring those tithes into the storehouse, the key word it says is all, we're testing God because he says he will open those windows and pour down on us more blessing than we can receive. So it's a big round of applause right now. You can bring your tithes down to the buckets here. Well, we got one. Our attendants are short today. We're missing some of our help. Missing some of our help this morning. There we go. There we go. Oh, he's collecting them now. He's not just waiting. He's picking them up and putting them in there. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, there's always the last one, isn't there? But I won't call her by name, Stephanie, but thank you for that. Right now, what I want y'all to do is I want you to stretch out your hands, and we're going to pray over these tithes and offerings. Father God, you tell us in Isaiah to remind you of your promises. Father, we remind you that in Malachi, you tell us to bring all tithes into the storehouse, and you'll open those windows, and you'll pour out a blessing so big that we can't receive it all. Father God, we call it in right now for these tithes and offerings and all of our blessed people here that are givers, Father God. We know that your word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, give a big round of applause. We're going to have communion this morning. So, guys, you can pass those out. Communion is something that we do here at Cowboy Church. And we don't do it just to do it. You see, there is something special about communion. And there's a lot of churches that just do it just to be doing it. They just do it as a ceremony, and it becomes something that they do. But one thing that studying out communion is that there's more to it than just being repetitive. You see, we do it once a month, and you can take communion anytime you need to, anytime you feel the need to. Hope they save the pieces. But when we do communion, we have to remember, what are we doing it for? You see, we can think and it's a remembrance of Jesus. It's a remembrance of what did Jesus do for all of us. You see, he died on that cross for us so that we would have life everlasting. He took those stripes on his back because 1 Peter says that we are healed by his stripes. Can you imagine? So communion is part of it, is remembrance. And over the last few times that I've done communion, I also studied and found out that it's a celebration. You see, we think of it just being a remembrance of that terrible thing that Jesus went through for us. But y'all, it's a celebration that Jesus died. He said, I can't stay here. I must go so we can have life everlasting. Man, that's a celebration, y'all. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have life everlasting. And if you're not saved yet, we're going to give you an opportunity after a while. You see, so it's not just remembrance, it's celebration. So when we take communion, we need to remember about those things that he did for us. We need to think about the celebration. But I'm going to turn, and you don't have to because I know you're holding stuff and you don't have to turn there. But I want to read y'all out of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to eat and drink in just a minute. But this is after the Apostle Paul did communion. And this is in the script. And I want you to listen to this because if we take this to heart, we'll learn to look at it a little bit differently. This is in, just so you'll remember, this is in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes back. So you see, when we do this, we've got to remember that Jesus died for us and he is coming back. Amen. Woo! That's going to be a good thing. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I never really stopped and thought about it, that it could be unworthy to do this. But wait a minute. What it's saying is, what is your heart when you do this? If you're not, we don't do this just to be doing this. That's when it's unworthy, y'all. When you do it just, oh, well, everybody else is taking communion, I'm going to take communion. No. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself. Oh. You see, so now, when we do communion, we remember what Jesus did for us. We celebrate what Jesus did for us. But here it says, examine yourself. Before we do this, let's take a minute. And you just think about, man, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what God wants me to? Have I taken a wrong turn? You see, it says that to do this worthily, we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves that Jesus died for us. Are we living that life in which we're supposed to be living? Amen? Man, that puts a new light on everything. If we learn not to take this for granted, you see? So in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Eat. Verse 25, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Everyone drink. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the blood, the precious blood, and Jesus' body being broke for us. And Father, we just thank you that we never take it for granted for what Jesus did for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I think that at this point, we're going to release the kiddos, the youth, and the little ones. So with the big round of applause, they're going to walk nicely out the back. Amen. Got lots of little kids. That's awesome. Last couple of times I've preached, it has been on communion. And one thing I found is I got water today. I was smarter because the last couple of times, that little cracker just don't go down a whole lot. There's not much juice in there to make it go down. And so I end up doing all that. Y'all are doing it. So I did forget to do one thing. I forgot to invite the folks that are watching us on the internet. Welcome. We're glad to have you. And we preach Jesus Cowboy style here, so we're honored that people are tuning in on the internet. And I know that we have folks that sometimes can't make it here, and we're honored that they watch on TV or on the computer. So last time I preached was in October, and I did check before I start this sermon, and it is there. And when I preached last time, I didn't realize it was going to be 3 months before I preached again. So this is a continuation of that sermon. Because some of y'all that were here, I told y'all that's part one. We'll finish it. Because, it was a good sermon. I just didn't get to finish it. So I'm going to go back over real quickly just the first part of it, but you can watch it in depth or listen to it. After a few months, I believe it just goes to audio. Is that right, Denise? Didn't it just go to audio after a few months? After a while. So you can listen to that. I went and checked. But the title of that sermon was No More Excuses. And today's title is No More Excuses Part 2. It is the sequel to Part 1. That sermon, we get caught up, people get caught up in making excuses. When it comes to God and when things happen in our lives, we get beat up. We let the devil mess with us. So the first excuse that I gave y'all back then was, it's impossible. That's one excuse that you hear a lot. It's impossible. In Luke, it says that things that are not possible with man are possible with God. I love that. I love that because, you know, we've probably all been guilty of it at one time or another. I mean, even when we was a kid that's impossible, you know. And I remember when I used to teach school and parents would go, oh, my kids, it's impossible for them to be good in math because I was bad in math. Oh, I used to. You ever seen a 2-year-old climb a tree? And they go, well, that's impossible. No, it's not. They just did it. Look. But you see, with man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. Mark says, all things are possible to those who believe. That's right. Number two, this is a good one. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Well, Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And Pastor Corey's changed it to, I will. See, I hope he's watching or he gets to watch because I remembered something that he preached. He says, I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Number three, the third thing back then was, I can't do it anymore. Just can't do it anymore. 2 Corinthians, it says that my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you see, when we get down and beat up, but we learn to call on the Lord, that's when His strength shows up, y'all. That's when it's, I can do it. I can do it. It's not, I can't do it anymore. Yes, you can. Number four. And I thought it was really neat for me going back through this, because a lot of times when you preach, once you've preached something, you go back and look at it, you go, what was this? Howdy and I were kind of talking about this morning. We make notes, but then when we start preaching, you don't look at your notes a whole lot, and then you go back and go, wow, I didn't say that. So the Holy Spirit is so good. The Holy Spirit, when you turn into the Holy Spirit, He guides you. So I was looking at this, and the fourth, the big one was I'm tired. Well, in October, that was the one I finished with, I'm tired. And I got to praying about and meditating about this message, and we just finished a year. When you stop and think about it, we finished 12 months, 365 days. I'll tell you how many hours, but I don't know, and I don't really care. But we just got through doing a whole year. Now, most of people that are not like us, that are built up in the Word, and we know the truth, at the end of the year, they go, man, I'm tired. Man, it's been a long year. And we're all going, boy, it was quick. What happened? And I thought it was so neat because we just finished that year and you have so many people going, I'm tired. I'm tired. I want y'all to turn to Matthew 11 real quick. Matthew 11, verse 28. I love this scripture. Verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Oh, wow. Get in the Word. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, I want to read it in the Amplified, because the Amplified will clear it up. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. You see, people get caught up in, after a year, I'm tired. Man, you've had problems, you've fought over whatever with your job or your family or your finances, and people are going, I'm tired. Man, where do I get it? Well, it says, I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh. When we go to God, He will refresh us. When we've been laboring, He will build us back up. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, which is meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Man, you should say amen to that. Whew. Don't you want that? If you don't have that, does that not sound appealing? Or do you want to just wallow in it? I mean, why would you want to be tired and grumpy and gripey and, oh, poor is me? Let it go, y'all. Just let it go. Get rid of it. We're starting a new year. Why you want to bring 2018 into 2019? Shame on you. I say that lightly, but really? I mean, really? You want to drag all your problems into 2019. Come on, y'all. God says, I will make it easy for you. I will ease. See, that's where easy comes from, is ease. He will ease. Verse 30, for my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. My burden is light and easy to be borne. I used the example that day because I'm tired is one of the bigger excuses people use. That's one of, and like I said, I'm guilty. I used to use it. I quit using it. I use tired in a different way now. I just need sleep so I can go again. I'm not tired here. I'm not tired in my spirit. But my fleshy body needs to lay down because it needs a nap. Right? Amen. But I use this example. In 1 Kings, I preached about Elijah that day. And Elijah chapter 18 was on fire. Man, he was slaying. He was doing all. And then in 19, it took a quick turn. Jezebel and Ahab had done attacked him. And he ran and he ran till he was tired. One thing that we have to learn to do, he wanted to give up. He was tired. He said, man, I wish I'd just die. And I'm sure there's people in here that are thinking that. But our God's better than that, y'all. Our God is bigger than anything that you go through. Our God, at times, you know, he may not do y'all this way, but every now and then God goes, gives me a little kick in the backside because, come on, you need to do this. He does that to me. I mean, he may not do that to y'all. God will kick me in the booty every once in a while when I need one. It's not condemnation, though. It's like, come on, you can do this. But there's times, just like when Elijah went through this and he was so tired, that God sent an angel. And that angel brought him food and loved on him and let him sleep. And then what happened again? The angel woke him up. Come on, you need to eat. You need to eat. You need to sleep. After he rested in the Lord, and there's the key word, he rested in the Lord. He got up. He was ready to go. God sent him out on his next assignment. We can do that. You can do that. So when we get tired, we have to learn to turn into God and say, God, I need to crawl up in your lap, and I need your arm around me, and I need for you to hug me, and I need to rest. And you know what? There's nothing better feeling when you do that. Are you willing to allow God to love you? Okay, so that was the sermon from last time. It's part two. Y'all ready? How'd y'all like that ending? Well, I just figured, you know, because I didn't want to start closing yet because, preachers close three times at least. And here anyway, we do. So I just try to take after Howdy and Corey and close three or four times. But it's too early to close. So the next excuse, number five, I'm messed up. I messed up. Sorry. I tried to put an apostrophe in there and it didn't come out right. Y'all flip to Psalms. Psalms chapter 37. The Holy Spirit is so incredible, y'all. Howdy and I were visiting this morning and I've learned that when I get ready to preach and I study all week and in the morning time when I preach and I just pray, I get up early and drink coffee and pray, and the Holy Spirit shows me stuff. And he does. He does preachers that way, I think. He does us all that way if we allow him to. But sometimes he gives us things that are not necessarily for me but are for y'all. And I had written just one verse down when I'd studied this out and prayed for it, but he showed me another verse this morning. This is chapter 37 and verse 23 we're going to start. I'd initially just gone to 24, but this morning the Holy Spirit said, let's do 23 and 24. 23 said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, what I was shown this morning is the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Y'all, we were made righteous, and you're good in the Lord. We get in the Word, we're good in the Lord. If we're doing the right thing, when we fall, we don't fall far. He reaches his hand out there and says, whoa, wait a minute, give me your hand. He has a hold of our hand. Look, verse 24 again. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, I like to think of it as he's holding my hand. But when I just read this, the Holy Spirit said, he holdeth me up with his hand. Whew. Y'all think about that. That God has got you in the palm of his hand. Amen? Don't you want to be in the palm of God's hand? You think about your grandkids. Well, some of y'all don't have grandkids yet. You can't think about your grandkids. But for you grandparents out there, you think about your grandkids. And it's good when they get as they get older, but when they're babies and they do this, they have you in the palm of their hand. That's what God said he does right here, y'all. And I can tell you as a grandparent, there's no better feeling than being in the palm of somebody's hand like that in a good thing. Amen? Amen. Number six. Excuse number six. I'm not able. But let's flip to 2 Corinthians because we're going to see what God says about I'm not able. Man, thank you, Jesus, for the word. Chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 8. When I was led to this scripture, actually, let's back up to verse 6. The excuse is I'm not able. Well, I was led to this scripture, and it was kind of, I guess, maybe served two purposes now that I think about it, but it's talking about a cheerful giver. Now, I'm not able can mean a lot of things, can it? It means that I'm not able to give, or I don't think I'm able to give. I'm not able to do something. Well, thank you. Because I was still a little bit of question about where I was, why this fit. I know where the one verse fits, but y'all just go with me. Humor me. So verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now here's the verse that I was led to originally. And God is able. We're not able, y'all. We are not able. But if we are in right standing with God, God is able. God's able whether we're in right standing or not. Okay? But I'm just telling you, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, God is able in your life. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Ooh, Jesus, I want that favor, don't y'all? I want all that favor. That ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Listen to verse 8 in the Amplified. It says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and every earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Y'all, God is able when we're not. When we rest in the Lord and we say, hey, it's you. It's all you. We have to learn it's all him. It's not all us. It's zero us, God, exponentially. It's us, zero. See, that's what happens. We get so caught up in me, 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 or I, and it should be God, God, God. Amen? Number 7. I feel alone. Now, this one is interesting in the fact that I usually don't really necessarily feel alone. There's only been one time in my life that I felt alone. And I was going through a bad deal. And I've never felt more alone, even though I had people around me, people that loved on me and loved me. But you, that alone feeling, even though there's people around you that love you sometime, is kind of a scary thing. Doesn't make you necessarily do stupid or dumb things. I mean, you don't have to do stupid or dumb. But when you, that loneliness that goes, wow. It's like I'm by myself. What does God say about that? Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Man, the word is so good. I didn't mean to get serious. Y'all got like. Woo, Jesus. Man, thank you, Lord. I love you. Wow. Hebrews 13. I feel all alone. And we're going to go to verse 5. And start there. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Say oh me, oh my if you're not. Oh, wow, everybody's there. That's good. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Now, let's don't stop there. I mean, just because he says that, he's got a little more goody for us, y'all, if we go on. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. Underline that word if you write in your Bible. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Man. You see, when we get God, everything else should be secondary. We make God the number one priority in our life. Because then, I'm telling y'all, in the last 4 years of my life, or 5 years, I've had a great teacher on how to handle things. And that's Pastor Corey Ross. And I told him, that man handles things so much with ease, y'all, with ease. And I have learned how to do it. It has not been without struggle. It has not been without tantrums. It has not been without a lot of things. However, I can tell you, once I've gotten a hold of this, whoo, thank you, Jesus, best thing ever happened to me. How that we handle things makes life so much better. When you put God first, anything that comes against you is like, okay, so what? No biggie. I can tell you, we had a little situation not a week or so ago, and it was something that was really silly, and it was something that could be expensive. And Laurie and I were talking, and I said, ain't going to worry about it. We prayed about it, let go of it. 2 days later, it was taken care of in Jesus' name. Now, here's the deal. I used to think that when I prayed about something and tried to let go of something, it would take forever. I mean, like, I'm believing for something, I've let go of something, and dadgummit, it takes months or years, seems like. And Laurie and I were visiting about, we were talking, and I was talking through some of this with her, and as y'all know, I usually do, and she helps me a lot because she studies way more than I study. Just confessing in church, thank you, Lord. But we were talking about this letting go of things, and that here lately, it's like when we let go of it, a day or two later, it's taken care of. It's like, whew, it's quick. And she said, I said, but it used to not be that way. I don't. And she goes, it's because we've been practicing it all the time. You see, when you start practicing this all the time, it gets easy. Now, I don't mean easy in, you know, oh, it's all this God stuff is easy. It really is. Once you practice it and you give it to the Lord and you say, okay, I've prayed about it. Here's what I'm asking God. Thank you very much. Let it go. When we did that, and I didn't even think about it for 2 days till I found out it got taken care of, and it was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Don't, that's gone. No biggie. But y'all, it's an amazing thing, and I thank Pastor Corey for that. I've learned a lot of things under him as being a pastor under him, but that is, he does handle things so amazingly, and that's a gift from God. But some of us have to work of it more than others, and I'm still working at it. But it, you know what? It's good. And that not fear thing, that leads me to number 8. And this is, you will hear a lot of people say this all the time. I'm worried. Now, in 1 Peter, it tells us to cast all of our cares on him that cares, because he cares for us, right? It says to be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is like a lion roaring, seeking who he may devour. But if we cast our cares, we don't have that. We don't have that stress of worry. The Holy Spirit showed me, this is one of those highlighted moments this morning when I was reading and studying. When you worry, it stops God's blessing. Now, I had never thought of that. The Holy Spirit goes, when you worry, you're stopping God's blessing. He can't bless you if you're worried about something. The story of Peter, when he walked on the water, he was doing good, wasn't he? Can't you see him? He's, look at me. Look, guys. Hey. He's waving at the disciples in the boat. Look at me, man. Look. Whoa. And then he sees the wind blowing. And then he sees the waves going. What happened? Instead of looking at Jesus, he started sinking because he took his eyes off of Jesus. You see, those blessings were stopped. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, our blessings can be stopped. Flip to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 6. You know, in 2 Timothy, it said that God did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Okay? So when we think about that worry sneaking in, why don't we remember? No, wait a minute. He did that. That tells us, oh, thank you. That tells us that that spirit of fear, God said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear comes from the devil, the stinking devil. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. Fear and worry and doubt and unbelief do not come from above, y'all. So why do we spend more time thinking on that? People get so caught up in worrying about health or finances or the color of what shirt I'm going to wear tomorrow. Okay? But when we get rid of that worry, because God did not give us the spirit of worry or the spirit of fear. Amen? Matthew chapter 6. I read this, and this is one that y'all have probably read before. We're going to start in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Here it's telling us that God made us better than birds. He made us better than that. We're above that. So if God takes care of those little things, and some people may say, well, but wait a minute, that little thing is eating. Well, but it says right here, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to worry about the eating. We're not supposed to worry, period. That take no thought. In the English, the old English, basically means we're not supposed to fear that. That's just putting it. We ain't supposed to worry about it. That's Texas vernacular. I ain't supposed to worry about that. Okay, y'all got that because I saw some of you looking at me going. So that's what that means. That means just don't. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? When it talks about that, when you start worrying about that cubit means to your stature, means in growth and in longevity, in life. How many, do y'all know people that worry about dying? Even people that are saved worry about, well, when am I going, I may die. Your body may die, but if you're saved, you're going to heaven, Jack. Promise. I promise. But people get caught up in that worry about, hey, when am I going to die? When am I going to die? I'm going to die. Yeah, your body's going to die. Some of us be glad our bodies die, you know. But we're our spirit, our soul, we're going to heaven, y'all. And that's a good thing. You should be saying amen to that. They have nothing else. Some of y'all need to wake up over here on this side. Look like they're taking a nap over there. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? That's what you wear. I mean, and I know that you ladies want to look good. You know, woo. What shoes go with this outfit? That's okay to look good. You should care on whether you match or not. I understand that. But don't worry about what you're going to wear. Or worry about where am I going to get it from. Amen? Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I like that because if you think about what he said about the grass, and then he colored it green, but it dies in the oven, it reminds me of living in West Texas and trying to water grass in the summertime because it dies. You can't put enough water on it in West Texas to keep it green. Thank God for the hill country and rain. Amen. 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what we need. He knows it. The things that we desire, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. It says in Isaiah, just what we prayed a while ago, remind him of his promises. And y'all know that's more for us than it is for him because he ain't going to forget. But it helps us go, yeah, that's right. It's what your word says. 33, this is the point of this scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first, y'all. When everything else starts coming down around you and you can't think and you can't see because of whatever problem that you have, put God first. Because God says, I got you in the palm of my hand, baby. I got you in the palm of my hand. It don't matter that you lost that big account or you didn't get that job or, oh, you looked at your bank account and it wasn't what you thought it was, but if you're a giver, you know it's coming back. Or that doctor says, or somebody says, well, I don't like you anymore. Oh, well, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I have Jesus. Get out of here. You know, right? I mean, you laugh. You laugh, but why don't we learn to have that attitude? You see? Why be so serious? Why be so, man, it just wants me to stomp my foot and say, quit being so serious, y'all. Quit worrying. God has you in the palm of his hand. And he's not going to let nothing happen to us. Thank you, Jesus. And all these things shall be added unto you. And this is a good one right here. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Y'all, we got enough stuff going on today that why should we be thinking about tomorrow? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, because somebody's going to go, oh, right, so we're not supposed to plan work tomorrow and we're not. I didn't say that. Did I now? We have to plan work because we are to work. The Bible says all labor is profit, but idle talk is poverty. So if we're not working, then it's not turning out too good for us, right? That's right. So we want to do what the word says. So we need to plan. We need to set goals, but focus on today. It's one of the biggest things that's really made an impact in my life too over the last 4 or 5 years is I've learned, man, I got this to do today. I got this to do today. Da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. Done. Time to go to bed. I go to bed and sleep good. I used to lay awake for hours years ago. I could think about, some of you people go, I think about 2 or 3 things at one time. I thought about 20 or 30 at one time. But not anymore. Because I don't think about, oh, how am I going to do this? Or what am I going to do? Or, no, God says tomorrow. Y'all flip to Philippians and I'm going to start closing. Don't laugh. We still got a few minutes left. Dallas played last night, so win. Amen. How about Dallas? See, God loves the Cowboys. Amen. At least for one more week. Amen. Amen. I heard something. I heard an analogy by another pastor, and I thought it was so good. Us turning loose of the junk that we have to turn loose of. Think about this. So, now you don't have to raise your hands, but we've all gone to a repairman, right? We've taken something, whether it's a car or a computer or something, and we've taken it to that repairman, right? Now, I'm guessing that y'all probably took your sleeping bag with you and made your little bed out there and told him, I'll be right here if you need anything for me to help you fix my computer or my car or whatever. Right? No. You didn't take your sleeping bag and go and try to tell him how to do his job. Why do we do that with God? You go and you leave that thing there to be fixed and you wait for the phone to ring and say it's done. And all you have to do is go, how much was it? And then you go and you totally trust where you took whatever it was to be fixed. And you go home, and you usually don't think about it much until they call. Why do we not do that with God? Yeah. That put a whole new spin on it when I heard that. I thought, what an analogy. If we learn to do that with God, we give it to him because he's going to fix it. If we give it to him, truly give it to him, and be done with it, he will fix it. Isn't that cool? I thought, man, that is good. Wish I'd have thought of that. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to start closing with this. As I studied and I listened to different pastors and listened to music and song really moves me. There's not a greater time in our country right now than we need this scripture right here, y'all. Because right now our country has been turned upside down. It's so fast. People are divided. People are ticked off. People are, you know, it's just like, here's a perfect example. that little girl that got shot in Houston in that car. For, I don't know about y'all, but for 2 or 3 days now I've heard, well, it was probably a hate crime because it was a white man that was driving that truck that shot him. Did y'all see who they arrested this morning? But listen, I'm not telling y'all this, but for one reason. That's the mentality of our country right now. People jump to conclusions. Y'all, we have to learn to put it in God's hands and say, God, we trust you. Amen. This scripture right here is more powerful for right now, I think, than any other thing. Be careful for nothing. Man, in the Amplified it says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. I love this. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Y'all, with thanksgiving, everything we do, we should be thankful for. Everything we have, not just the big things, not when God comes through with that one miracle that you've been praying for. I've learned to be thankful for that parking spot up close when I pull in. You can laugh, but you start thanking God for everything that you've got. Amen. But what that does is just what I was telling you earlier. Everything gets easier and easier when you do that. Verse 7. And be the peace of, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Quit thinking on the junk, y'all. Man, think on the good stuff. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Ooh, Jesus, I want that God of peace to be with me. I had a student that was I taught this week. And he's a dear friend. It's because he's a sweet man. He's a godly man, and he's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life. And we were talking. I could tell he was down. And he's having, it's not that he's having financial problems because he has money, but it's, he was, his retirement and things that he thought, and we got to talking about the stock market and how it was, and he goes, you know, when I think I'm smart and things are going good, I'm like, yeah, and I know better. I know it's God doing it when it's good, and then when it hits bottom, I'm like, I'm sorry. I knew better. We have to get that way. We have to know that no matter whether it's good or bad or whatever, that we're thanking God. He told me about a book. I'm closing. I promise. He told me about a book, and I'm not using this book as anything other than what he surmised from it because I thought it was really nice. It's called Living a Year Biblically. A Jewish man wrote this. And he said, I read the whole book, and I'm going to share what he came up with. But this guy tried to live the Bible literally from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He spent like 6 months or so in the Old Testament, 7 months. I mean, he sacrificed. He wore clothes of the same fabric because that's what it says you're supposed to do. He said, I decided if I don't understand something, because he was Jewish, he lives in New York, I will go to a rabbi or I'll go to a pastor. I want to know. I want to live biblically, exactly what the word says. He did everything for a year. He ate when it said to eat a certain kind of food. That's what he did. And Chris told me, he said, Ricky, the only thing, he said, wearing the same fabric of clothes, he said, the guy said, I didn't feel any different. He said, sacrificing the dove or whatever didn't make me feel any different. He said, but what I learned was I thank God for everything. When I crossed the street in New York, I thank God for not getting hit by a car. He said, the thing that I got out of that whole book, and the guy said in the end, was thanking God was the biggest thing that turned my, that affected my life for a year. He said, because I did it all the time. I thank God for that bowl of oatmeal with the fruit in it. I thank God for whatever. And I thought that was so neat that a guy that tried to live biblically and do, you know, because we know the Old Testament, we know the law and all that, but he wanted to experience it, which is kind of crazy in itself, because I'm going to get the book now and read it because he's got my interest up just to see. You know, because this has got to be interesting, right? Because, I mean, I want to see how he lived everything. But the most important thing that changed his life out of the whole living whatever was thanking God for everything. Amen? Have y'all had a good time this morning? Amen. You know, I thank God for Jesus. And if you've never had an opportunity to know the Jesus that we know, we're going to give you an opportunity right now. We would never do a church service without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. To be saved. And to be saved means to be saved from what? From hell. It's a real place. But it's also to be saved from the junk that we've been talking about this morning. You see, when we're saved, we don't have to experience that junk. We have Jesus in us. We don't have to allow it to mess us up. We don't have to allow it to ruin our school career or our jobs or whatever. But right now, I want to give you an opportunity to come to know our Savior, Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Jesus died for us so that we could have life everlasting. God sent him for us. He died for our health, our diseases, the sickness. We don't have to take that on. He took it on for us. Thank you, Jesus. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask you to do that right now. We're not going to have you come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to say a prayer. And you can say it right where you're at, from right where you're at. And we want you to say it out loud. But we're going to ask believers to say it with us. We need to learn this prayer so that we can lead people to Jesus when we're not here in church. Wherever you're at, you can lead people to Jesus. So right now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask you to do it right now. I want you to say this prayer with us. Believers, I want you to say it with us. I want you to say it and mean it. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come into my life and save me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe you died and rose for me. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord, for holding me in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed still and every eye closed, we're not going to ask you to come up to the front. We're not going to ask you to stand up. But one thing that we would do is that if you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to just stick your hand up real quick, because the Word says, do not be afraid to acknowledge us before man, and I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So right now, on the count of three, if that was you, just get your hand up real quick. We're going to slip you a Bible. There's a card in there. Fill it out, if you would, that letting us know that you just got saved, and we can reach out to you, put it in the bucket up here before you leave. So on the count of three, if that was you, be proud. Be bold that you get to go to heaven. One, two, three. If that was you, just raise your hand. Be bold this morning. All right. Well, that tells me this. Everybody look here. Everybody's going to heaven in here, and that's a good thing. How about a big round of applause? All right. Well, I'm glad and honored that I got to minister to y'all this morning. And we're going to bring Mr. Howdy up here, and he's going to finish us off.
Finish him. Do like something. Mortal Kombat. Finish him. So as we finish it out today, we are, again, so thankful that, you know, if you're a visitor here, thank you guys for coming. We know you could have gone anywhere today, but thank you guys for coming today. And by the way, Corey is, again, and he's in Odessa today. He'll be traveling today, so y'all be praying for him as he travels.